What would happen if we had the audacity, the courage, the boldness, and the presence to lean into our edges and to grow from our core? See, in a world shaped by yesterday's leaning into tomorrow's, we find ourselves weaving possibilities in an endless constellation of opportunities. The world has shifted, and now we find ourselves in a space-time continuum where lifestyle, business, and consciousness share the same office space as your purpose and your brand. Welcome to the Supernova Podcast. I'm your hostess, Lena Ski. This is a never-ending chronicle, a narrative, really, designed to usher in those big bang shebangs and a whole lot more glimmer. Let's get astronomical. Let's really shift the needle into flow. Everything is changing, and so much already has. The shift is real. Whether we look at it from the future of work or even subdivide that into the future of communications, the future of media, the future of public relations, where industries are diverging and moving, the future of culture, the future of retail, the future of education. There's so many incredible things happening. There's so many incredible things rising. We're on the cusp of a lot of different things. And if we're going to be bringing in the highest possible place to create from, what does that really mean? So recently I got invited, amongst others, to contribute to the We Wellbeing Economy Alliance template, this document that bullet points very simply and with excessive meaning and deliberate intentionality what is the new economy, what is the new sphere, what is the new ecosystem, what would need to be in place and in play for all of these things to happen. And I don't believe, as I say that particular sentence, that it's a trick question of we need to get all of these other things changed and then naturally the other thing will change. There is a very deep sense of symbiosis, and naturally as one thing shifts and changes, so does another thing. And I've just seen this in some change management work that I've just done in disrupting a client's personal transformation and kind of going, hold on, what is real? What is truth? What is really being created here? And what does the disruption need to happen, which is actually the creative process, not a destructive process, that allows truth to land and truth to be centerfold in everything that's being created, meaning and purpose and all that good stuff. Oh, I could talk about any one of those nuggets. Or, I don't know, I've never tried, but to put it into a time frame or into a box. But what I do want to raise and what I do want to bring and what I do actually want to celebrate with you is the work that I've been doing in retail. Yep, I did some work in retail and I've been fascinated how we bring well-being economy into retail, how we bring the highest possible evolutionary note into retail, and how do we design these consumption spaces, which are very passive, right? You go in and get what you need. It's basically given to you. You don't really actually have a choice. I mean, you have a choice by means of what is presented to you. You may be able to grab a shopping assistant and kind of go, but I know you normally have this range and this particular product is out of stock. Do you have something somewhere in the back? But you're still limited to what's being delivered and what's being told is possible for you within the parameters of that specific shop. And certain shops have different parameters on quality of ingredients or types of ingredients and what you'd expect to find there, because that integrity has structure. It has value in what it's creating, and that is why we can have that association with it. And I'm interested in the future of retail. I never thought the words would come out of my mouth, but working in the space of how do we stop this. Not stop. Maybe stop is a strong word. I even just shudder at having said that. But how do we shift? How do we allow? How do we repackage? You know me on packaging, but or unpackage what is here and create something that's really far more valuable. So I started having this conversation with my friends over at the Wellbeing Economy Alliance in bringing this into the grid, because I see the future of retail being just as important of a distinction in terms of what is the future of productivity, what is the purpose of the economy, how do we do social care for the elderly. You know, this is a place where we go to consume things. This is where we're getting our livestock. This is where we're getting our supplements. It's where we're getting our food. It's where we're it's where the consumerism embodies itself at the highest possible heed that it can. And right now, this retail environment, even under the best working conditions or business as usual or what we're optimizing for, is an excessive force on economies of scale. It's an excessive force on cream of the crop, getting rid of the surplus, getting rid of the defects. It's designed to constantly want you to have more. Like, you've done one, you need to have another, you need to have another, you need to have another. And that shift from the future is more to the future is deeper is something I believe is a fundamental part of not only retail. This can actually move into business, it can move into other realms, because at the end of the day, everything is everything. Everything is connected. Everything is a process of society, is a process of business, is a process of all these different co-creative elements. So if we look at retail right now, we go in, we consume, we get told what we want. The advertising world tells us where our beauty lies. The advertising world tells us what's nutritionally good for us. Or maybe it'll hint at something being good for us, but then it'll spike the price up on certain things. It'll play these really convoluted games to almost... I almost think that if there was a level of consciousness here, it would be... cosmically... a greater entity that likes to just shuffle us into boxes. And you've seen this in Hollywood movies where you want a target to go a specific way. So you reroute traffic cams, you reroute robots, you reroute all these things. You create these diversions to really funnel people in. And that's the marketing world of funneling people into an experience. And retail is a lot of that. And our relationship to that is passive. Our relationship to that has been, we don't see ourselves being ushered into the environment. I mean, the psychology of shopping malls is fascinating. Think about it. The psychology of where things are put on the shelf are fascinating. What's in your line of sight? Where do they allow you to put the intention? Why do they have those colorful displays? What are they trying to move, bring your awareness to, bring your attention to? It becomes such a passive process in its own right and way. It becomes very process orientated, and it's all designed just to secure the transaction. Because let's face it, retail wouldn't exist without a secured transaction. And sometimes that secured transaction takes a long time. There's a long loop in that. Paintings and Persian rugs take a lot longer to move on a floor and to move into their home and to kind of move through that expenditure cycle of consumption, where, I don't know, a lollipop, a pen, something else that we use a lot more, data bundles or cell phones, or because everyone has one. Things that we reach for tangibly, even though we don't necessarily know that we reach for things. Things that we dress ourselves in. Things that we feed ourselves. Things that we create some sort of sphere of identity around, even though this identity is being given to us, right? So this was just some of the points that that I raise in terms of what the economy right now, what the best practices right now is when it comes to retail. And there's so much more to it. Yes, and this is also where I find it kind of interesting, because right now we're at a precipice. We're at a very unique transitional point where, for example, plastic is no longer the cool kid on the box, and retail and marketing and that world is designed to keep the cool kid cool. If you don't have that disparity of keeping the cool kid in the cool, then there isn't that tension and that need and that desire that's being created to then actually move up some sort of a hierarchy, to move into some sort of a place to grow that way, instead of to grow in truth and true growth, which is to grow as you and in your authenticity and what it is that you're bringing to the world. And that is, oopsie, another podcast. I'm getting way too excited here, starting to throw things around the room. But what could a well-being economy look like? What could an economy or retail, the future of retail, look like? Even beyond that, if it was really generative, if it was really designed for the highest value possible, well, something that we don't really have in our retail environment right now is a quality. It's a quality of craftsmanship. It's a quality of reverence to something. It's a quality of this. Not only is aesthetically pleasing, because I think we'll always be psychologically governed by aesthetics, it's even in the extended Maslow's hierarchy to have an aesthetic palette, and to surround ourselves with beauty and these things. And for all of us, that's different to differential points of things. I'm just not even going to go finishing off that sentence because it's such a tongue twister. But this passive use and toss culture is seriously shifting. And yes, we are looking at economy and a market that is starting to invite us to reuse things, to appreciate things. And this is interesting because we're actually in the industry of now what is cool, appreciation and appreciating the thing that we have, the thing that we value, honoring it. You know, there's these new values being embedded into the system, and I like that. I'm really excited to see how, and maybe it won't just happen in one generation or two, and who knows, because the speed of things is the speed of things. Yet, and there's a big possibility here, and maybe I've just let the cat out of the bag, but I honestly do believe that we're there already. We're shifting away from plastic. That's not cool. And you know, what might have set somebody apart from being that cool kid anymore? That the bottom line radically changes. And that also becomes a fascinating thing. If the bottom line is now, this is the new cool, plastic is not using plastic is the new cool. How does that distinguish where we put our values? How does that distinguish how we place our attention on things, how we value things? So one of the things I see in the future of retail is it is a space and a sphere designed to add value. And it's not, and I specifically worded it like that because I don't want it to just be a value add. It's not a buy one, get one free. It's not a buy one and bonus. It's not this little thing and just a perk that we often see in consumption. It's not a one-upping culture either. It's value. It's going into a space and having value. And I think that that also has a fundamental shift from a consumption environment to a new environment because we're no longer just consuming. We're part of that ecology. We're part of that relationship. We're co-creating something in that space. And it's driven with so much more. So I'll just kind of go through some of the points that I talked about in this clustering. I'm not going to go through every little bullet point that's listed on the Wellbeing Economy page, but I am totally celebrating to see that, and I'm totally celebrating to see how this shifts the game, because it's going to feed into other things feed into it, and if we find these clusters of change, we can really make a change and be the change, because we are shifting, and we are starting to notice the new school of cool. So some of the other things that I see in this evolving retail culture is really bespoke experiences, really a focus on the quality of craftsmanship, really human-centric processes that are driven for humanity, by humanity, remembering we're humanity. We're not just running through some archaic video game, picking up monsters and adding them to our points chart and just consume, or because that's, you know, those typical kind of points games, so that we just get as much into our trolleys as possible and as much into our landfill as possible. But it's really a space driven by connection, engagement. And while data, which is right now really, really important, and I'm not going to bash data being wrong, I think data has its value. Being able to see the truth has immense value. Yet, it's not about stopping with the data. It's not about stopping with the transaction. It's not about stopping with the numbers. It's about that connection, that value add, and that engagement on the other side. So, how can you see this changing the way you experience retail? The things you buy, the things you consume, the places you put your time, your value, your energy, because let's face it, that world doesn't just live inside a shop or inside a shopping mall. It lives on the pages of a magazine. It lives in conversations that we have with another. It lives in billboard advertising. It lives in the media. It lives in our insecurities of ourselves, hugely. It lives in so many more places. It lives in our landfills. It lives in our land. It lives. So part of the future of retail is living, and this is where living systems become a really powerful thing. And it comes back to culture, and it comes back to what you stand for, and it comes back to designing operation strategies that aren't designed to be passive but all inclusive. So it's not just like a rah-rah yay team morale thing, but it's really recreating something. We're at this precipice. It may not feel as big as that. I might have a imagination that sees it bigger, sees more of the potential in it, sees the light seeping through the cracks, sees the liquid gold in there. That's just me. I have that ability to see what's under that and what's under that and what's under that. And if that becomes true, where do we grow? If this becomes the new status quo, if this becomes the new bottom line, great, amazing. And why stop there? Why not evolve? We're creatures of habit. We want to evolve. We want to do that. And if we don't have that capacity, we fall back on useless consumption rather than proactive. Oh, I've gone blank on this word. I don't want to use the word prosumption right now. Somehow it's not really fitting in with my narrative, even though I do know that that is one of the words and one of the predominant terms that's offered up as a alternative to consumption. And there's so much more to this conversation. So what does this mean for you and me? Well, exciting things, possibly. The redesign of structures, definitely. And coming back to your business, your space where you share value with in what you create and the work that you do, it's a bit of a bigger ricochet than you think. And it's a really, absolutely, truly good one. If you want to have a look at that grid of what's rising and highlighting and how we make the shift, I can definitely include that in the show notes. So let me know if you're game for playing on that level. And keep listening in to the next couple of podcasts. And we are so bringing some exciting guests on that are designed to really usher in this. Like, I'm building up this amazing space to just, you're going to love the conversations that follow. So keep it purposeful, but keep it evolving, keep it growing, keep it true. And here's to creating that thing you do in the most highest way that is asking to be created. So there you have it. There's no more room at the edge of maybe. Maybes have been taken up and scrapped off the list. Because we're not just in business to create products or services. You're in business to create openings, shape connections, and establish engagement. And this is your exact chance to find your opening, to take a step in, to get bold, to get daring, and to have that presence to follow your bliss, to follow that uniqueness that you bring into the world and let the world know, to step into the new class of emerging and share your genius. This has been Lena Ski for the Supernova Podcast. If you enjoyed this conversation or you want to find out more, head on over to my personal site, which is lenaski.com. Or if you're ready to get a little bit more moonshot, if you're ready to get a whole lot more magnetic, exponential, evolutionary, and intuitively design the business, the products, the services, and the talents that you're here to deliver to this world, you're gonna love theglobalmovementsummit.com. See you there.